Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. This is a live call-in program, so dial 888-ASK-HANK to ask your question now. Again, that's 888-275-4265. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States, Canada, indeed the world. The number to dial to get your questions answered live on the broadcast today is always 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And whether you're listening to me on the Bible Answer Man Facebook live page or on YouTube, whatever social media venue you're using, do remember you can talk to our resource consultants by picking up a phone and just dialing 888-7000 in the letter CRI, numerically 888-7000-274. Our contact information on the web is always equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We have a lot of people hanging on already for the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so I'm going to kind of go back and forth between the radio broadcast and social media. Let's take first up Sean, listening in Stanwood, Washington, on the web. Hi, Sean.
Hi, how's it going?
Doing good.
Okay, my question is for you. There are three main branches in Christianity that claim to be the universal church. There's the Eastern Orthodox, the Roman Catholic, and the Coptic Church. I've heard you speak why you believe the Roman Catholic Church isn't the universal church. But I've never heard you speak on the Coptic Church or the Oriental Orthodox. And I've read that the Patriarch of Alexandria was the first to use the title Pope, and that they kind of are organized the same way as the Eastern Orthodox Church. Can you tell me why you believe the Eastern Orthodox is the universal church and not the Coptic Church?
Well, I think what you are talking about when you're talking about the church universal is you're talking about Christians throughout the ages, which means that in every single generation, there are believers, and we can even expand that beyond the expressions of church as we know it from the first century onward. Abraham, though he was not a Jew, was a friend of God's. And as a result of that, he is part of the church universal. And we will see him in a city that knows no bounds or knows no borders or boundaries. And this is true of Rahab. It is true of everyone who looked forward to the coming of Jesus Christ through types and shadows. Now, after Christ has come, there are expressions of Christianity, and those expressions of Christianity ultimately started with the early Christian church seeking to simply pass on its tradition over time, meaning that the church did not want to be innovative. They want to perpetuate the teachings of Christ and the apostles, and do that through the early church fathers up until the present. So if you look at Christianity as a whole, you have, first of all, one church, the church unified. And then there was a split, a fissuring in the church that took place in 1054 between the Eastern Church and the Western Church. And I think oftentimes people are confused about the Eastern Church. The truth of the matter is the Eastern Church has different languages or linguistic groups, but in essence, the only difference at the end of the day is a difference in terms of the pastries that are being shared in the fellowship hall. The dogma is still a dogma that takes its roots from creeds like the Nicene Creed and from the seven ecumenical councils. So if you look at Christendom as a whole, you have not only the Eastern Church and the Western Church, but you also have then within the Western Church a split between the Roman Catholics and the Protestants that took place at the time of the Reformation about 500 years ago. And that that split continues on to this day. In fact, this would take some cashing out, I think it's important to realize that probably Catholics and Protestants have more in common than Catholics and Orthodox, and you alluded to the fact that I have talked about this in other venues. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Peter in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Peter's listening on the web. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Hank. Hello.
How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. I have here my question.
Sure.
Please share with us the great battle between the global Church of Jesus Christ and the global militant Islam, and if this may lead eventually to the final battle at Armageddon. Thank you.
Well, I think what's important for people to realize in this regard is that much of what people are communicating in contemporary evangelical Christianity has been part and parcel of taking the biblical text out of context and developing it into a pretext, meaning that many people simply do not know how to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. And this is certainly true when it comes to the book of Revelation, which is the apocalypse. I call it the apocalypse code in a book titled The Apocalypse Code, because the code for reading the book of Revelation is learning to read Revelation in light of the revelations that we have been given elsewhere in Scripture, the New Testament as well as the Old Testament. In the case of Revelation, primarily recapitulations of the prophets like the prophet Ezekiel. So I think sometimes what people do in error is they try to take the words of John, which were intended for a first century audience, that lived in the epicenter of a Caesar cult, and they try to take those words and transfer them into the 21st century. Now, there's a legitimate way in which you can do that, meaning that all of Scripture is efficacious for us today. But it is also illegitimate in the sense that we cannot forget that John was writing about something that was going to happen in the near future of his hearers. And in the process, he was telling them to be faithful and fruitful. They would suffer for a short time. Their vindication would be an eternal vindication. The number to dial for Radio 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Some of the comments coming up. Good evening, Hank. Great to see you doing well. Question. Since we know that God is spirit and doesn't have a physical body, what exactly does it mean that he is sitting at the right hand of the Father? What that means is that Christ has been elevated, as it were, to the right hand of power. In the incarnation, and we read this in Philippians chapter 4, Jesus Christ, at 3 and 4, we read about Jesus Christ, and we read that Jesus Christ voluntarily took on the role of a servant. And when we read that, we recognize in context that that does not mean that Jesus Christ divested himself of a single attribute of deity, but he took on the limitations of humanity. But all of that has changed, for Christ was crucified, and he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, And therefore, the limitations of humanity no longer apply to the ascended Christ. He is exalted. He is very God of very God. And he is true God of true God. In this light, sometimes I think it would do well for people to take the time to memorize some of the creeds, particularly the Nicene Creed, which is universally accepted throughout the entire Christian world. Whether you talk about Protestants or Catholics or Orthodox, everyone subscribes to the Nicene Creed. And because of that, it's good to get that into your memory trace. Elaine says, so glad that I can watch the Bible Answer Man broadcast. That's pretty cool. She's pointing out that you can not only listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but you can
hear the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You know, actually, I can actually, for the first time, I can hear you in my headphones.
I know. I made sure, I asked a couple of people to make sure that they were on. And
so
they
this
did.
This is kind of fun, though. We're getting this together as we get.
A conversation.
Exactly.
Come on, you need a girl voice here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, why don't you do something? I mean, you're making me do all the talking here.
Oh, Brock followed up. He asked, so the right hand of the Father is a metaphor?
Absolutely. It is a metaphor. You know, one of the problems is that people want to read the Bible in a wooden, literalistic sense, as opposed to reading the Bible in the sense in which it is intended. And if we did that in common everyday life, we'd run into all kinds of problems. My favorite example is, it's raining cats and dogs. And then you ask me, well, Dad, what color are the cats and how big are the dogs? You obviously missed the metaphor. The Bible is rife with metaphors. And we need to read those metaphors in the sense in which they're intended. Otherwise, we're going to miss the point. Now, a lot of people think, well, you think the Bible is just figurative and metaphorical? Well, look, metaphor is important because metaphor has sharp teeth. Metaphor illumines truth that we might otherwise miss. So the figures of speech that are used in Scripture are very, very important for us to internalize, but not in a wooden literalistic sense, but rather in the sense in which they are intended. And by the way, that's called the literal principle of biblical interpretation, which is to say that we are to read the Bible as literature. It's inspired, it's divine, but it's literature nonetheless.
And it has a lot to do with what book in the Bible it is too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point, because think about the reality that there are people who take perhaps the most figurative book of all of Scripture. I mean, there's an argument to be made that maybe Ezekiel uses more metaphor and figures of speech than the book of Revelation does. But let's just, for argument's sake, say you have certainly one of the most metaphor-rich books in the Bible, and now people want to read that in a wooden literalistic sense. So you have an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He sees the dragon, that ancient serpent, who's the devil or Satan, and he binds him for 1,000 years. Well, think about this for a moment. An angel, he's binding a non-corporeal being, throwing him into the abyss and locking and sealing it over him. Unless you read this in the sense in which it is intended, you not only miss the point, but you reduce the Bible to utter nonsense. And this is a classic example of where people want to read the Bible literalistically rather than as literature, as we should. Again, divine-inspired literature. And we have the advantage that the world doesn't have, meaning that a believer, and you talked about this earlier with the infilling of the Holy Spirit, a believer infilled with the Holy Spirit is given a benefit in reading Scripture that someone else does not have. A believer imbued with the Holy Spirit is able to read the scripture in a sense of enlightenment, the Holy Spirit making plain those things that he has inculcated into the text.
Yeah, because they're open to the Spirit. They're open to God's revelation, which people that aren't Christians are not open. They're not opening themselves up to that.
Yeah. So many calls, questions, comments coming in, particularly on social media, on radio, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. But please do not forget to support this ministry prayerfully and financially. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. When we come back from the break, a little bit on contrast between the Christian canon and the canon that is known as the Quran.
With 1,600,000,000 strong and growing, Islam is poised to fill a vacuum left by a Western culture slouching inexorably towards Gomorrah. Demographics alone are alarming. While polygamist Muslims boast a robust birth rate, native Westerners are moving rapidly towards self-extinction. Filling the void are multiplied millions of Muslims who have no intention of assimilating into Western culture. But there is one real solution to a disintegrating West and resurgent Islam. It is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Read Hank Hanegraaff's new book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our thanks for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
live in what Oz Guinness calls an ABC moment, anything but Christianity, a moment in which Christianity is routinely ridiculed and Islam is referred to with reverential tones. Yet ABC can also serve to remind us that the solution for regaining Western civilization and defeating global Islamic jihadism is ultimately grounded in answers, biblical literacy, and countering cults. This is the task of the Christian Church, the pillar and ground of truth. Find out more in Hank Hanegraaff's new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A brand new edition of the Christian Research Journal available for those who subscribe. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can also write us, as always, at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As well, you can talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. I want to say something about what I have written in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Last couple of days, I talked about the deity of Jesus Christ denied by Islam, the doctrine of original sin, also denied by Islam. For them, it is not an original sin. It's an original slip, a mere bout of forgetfulness or heedlessness, depending on who you're listening to. But the C in the acronym doctrine that I want to focus in on to separate Christianity and Islam for those who think that, well, it's six of one, half dozen of the other, you immediately recognize that we have two sources of authority. The Quran is the source of authority for Islam. The Bible is the source of authority for Christians. So now the question becomes, which one has gravitas? Which one corresponds to reality? Which one is truly authentic? Well, from a Muslim perspective, God spoke through the Archangel Gabriel, who dictated the Quran to Muhammad over a period of about 23 years. It is said that Muhammad then memorized the words, that he dictated what he had memorized to his companions, and that they in turn memorized these words and then reviewed it with the prophet to make sure that what they had was correct. And therefore, the assertion in Islam is that not even one letter of the Quran has been changed over the centuries. In fact, that's what followers of Muhammad call the miracle of the Quran. It exists in its original text without the slightest alteration of letter, syllable, jot, or tittle. No change has occurred in a single word, not even a single punctuation mark has been altered. And therefore, the promise of the Quran is that we have without doubt sent down the message and we will assuredly guard it from corruption. Well, think about that for a moment. We have the assurance that the Quran is correctly conveyed from the 7th century to the 21st century with respect to ethics. And I think in our epoch of time, we ought to underscore the fact that the ethics of the Quran are ethics that do not belong in any century. There's no place for polygamy in any century. It was a sin according to the Bible. And so when the patriarchs indulged in the sin, they were reproved. And the consequences of that sin clearly pointed out in the panoply of Scripture. Exactly the opposite is true in the Quran. There, polygamy is lauded. Muhammad could have any woman that devotes her life, well, to the Prophet. And men in general can have not just one or two wives, but three or four wives. And they can divorce those wives with ease and therefore add to the number of wives quite conveniently. A very, very big difference in the ethic communicated in Scripture and that which you find in the Quran. I mentioned on previous shows how the Quran allows men to beat their wives, to bring their wives into submission. And what I find absolutely stunning is that cultural elites who seem, on one hand, to care about the role and plight of women who are being objectified in our culture, can at the same time laud Quranic passages and say that those Quranic passages ought to be applied in Western civilization exactly as Muslims see fit. Obama, for example, was famous for beating that particular drum. You not only have these kinds of faulty ethics, but men being able to capture women and have sex with the captured women. This no longer is just the word of Muhammad, but it is the word of Allah. It's one thing for Muhammad to apply these kinds of morals in a 7th century context. It's another for Allah to apply these kinds of morals and then to have Islam teach us that every single letter, syllable, jot, or tittle is inviolate. In many ways, in that respect, there are a lot of similarities between the Book of Mormon and the Quran, because the Book of Mormon is said to be accurate with respect to every single word, not just every single word, but every single letter. Again, I've written about this in a whole lot more detail in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, that book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can find it online at equip.org, available for those who support the ministry. And when people join Sierra's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or to a friend. What's up?
I was just thinking, you know, Xander wants to give those books to his Bible teachers.
Which books?
Muslim.
Oh.
He was like, oh, they need to know this. Was, okay, Xander, we'll get you copies if you want.
Yeah.
It was a good book. I've read it.
Well, that's great. Jim, you said the Quran has ethics that don't belong in any century. You are right. And the same should be said about the Bible. Well, I was actually making the point that the same should not be said about the Bible. I mean, if you think about the ethics of Jesus Christ and the ethics of Muhammad, they're completely different. I don't know what your perspective, Jim, is, and I don't know where it comes from, but you think, for example, about Jesus Christ. He lived in a first century context. In a context in which women were considered chattel. They're on the lowest rung of the socioeconomic ladder. Their testimonies were not considered valid in a court of law. And Jesus takes women and he elevates women to complete ontological equality with men in that culture. He has women in his inner circle. And not only is this true with Jesus Christ, it is true with the followers of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul famously said, in Christ there's no male or female. There's no slave or free. There is no Jew or Greek. Genealogy doesn't matter. Gender doesn't matter. station in life does not matter. In fact, we get the inherent worth of human beings from the Bible, from a biblical ethic. And I think if people knew a little bit about history, they would know that we are still benefiting from the ethos and mores of the Bible, which have been thrown to the wind in our culture, but we're still benefiting from them. So even though we're no longer living in the pages of the Bible, we're living in the shadow of the Bible, we're still benefiting from a biblical worldview. So when someone cavalierly says, and I think the same thing should be said about the Bible, I sometimes wonder, and I don't know if this is the case with you or not, Jim, but I sometimes wonder whether you're familiar with the Bible, or whether or not you know how to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. So maybe a bit of a challenge to you, with gentleness and with respect, read the Bible. Maybe you should start with the book of Proverbs. Every single maxim or principle for successful daily living encapsulated in the Proverbs. I still remember one time many, many years ago, I was doing a seminar for a large corporation, and I was extemporaneously quoting the Proverbs. Every enterprise becomes strong through wise planning, grows through common sense, and profits wonderfully by staying abreast of the facts. As I was going through proverb after proverb after proverb, people were going, wow, that's amazing. I've never heard such erudite business principles. And then I told them I was simply quoting from Solomon in the Bible.
You like that trick a lot, don't you?
Huh?
You've used that before.
I have used that. I've used that trick on you, as you probably know.
And I think I countered it.
Let's take a... you probably did counter. Oh, I was just going to go to the phone line. I mean, to the... the calls on the radio, but I'm looking at the clock. I probably don't have enough time to do that. Any comment you want to read? You only have about a minute.
George says, looking great, Hank.
Ooh, I love that.
let's see. James says, tears of joy from your news. Praise be to God. Michael says, God bless you and your family and ministry, Hank. May God continue to bless you. Allison is sending prayers for healing. Mark says he's been listening to you for over 20 years.
Wow.
Angelica says, so true. Bible and Quran have very different messages. Getting a lot of great stuff here. And we have some questions, but we'll probably get to those after the break.
Yeah, we're going to have the quote of the day after we come back from the break and more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered on the Bible Answer Man broadcast when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Tomorrow, a busy day. I'll not only be in the studio doing the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but I will be doing all kinds of tests. So I'm going to go through a battery of tests. I hope it doesn't tire me out too much. I look forward to being in the studio answering your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast in a moment, and we'll continue on Facebook Live.
For most Americans, pronouncements from our public officials that Islam is a religion of peace are impossible to reconcile with daily headlines and jarring photos of global Islamic jihadist atrocities. To help you understand the real Islam, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you his new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and other life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. With over 500,000 copies in print,
Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.
Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Grave is the specter of global Islamic jihadism now exacting mass genocide on Christians in the East and ever multiplying terrorist attacks throughout the West. Worse still, Western governments, academic institutions, and media outlets seem bent on exporting a false narrative respecting the religious animus animating global Islamic jihadism. In Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, Hank Hanegraaff not only outlines the problems in accessible and memorable fashion, but moves toward potential solutions in the clash of civilizations. Receive your copy of Muslim as our appreciation for your financial partnership. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. During the break, I was talking to our social media audience about faith and works. And I was reading Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and then I added verse 10, which is oftentimes skipped by people in the reciting of the passage. But I also wanted to mention, again, our radio broadcast just started, so I waited until our radio audience joined us, that if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you immediately recognize that there's no foundation other than Jesus Christ. I mean, Paul makes that explicit in Ephesians chapter 3. But then he says, on that foundation you can build. And you can build using gold, silver, costly stones, or you can use inferior materials. And the day of the Lord is going to determine or demonstrate what kind of materials that you used. If what you have built survives, you will receive a reward. If not, you will suffer loss. So this is elucidated throughout the scriptures. But again, I don't think anybody should worry about my theology, because my theology is completely consistent with what the Apostle Paul says. Again, I'll repeat, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The quote of the day comes from the Prince of Preachers, the greatest English preacher of the 19th century. I think he's got the largest collection of sermons in the history of the Christian church. He taught at the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. By the way, I should also mention about Spurgeon. He was slandered almost beyond believability. I mean, you just could not believe the slander that he suffered from people, even preachers that were jealous of him. He also experienced tremendous physical maladies, including gout. And he only lived 57 years. But during his life, he was faithful, using the gifts that God had given him. And not only faithful, but eloquent. And so the quote of the day comes from Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who said, "Why is it that some Christians, although they hear many sermons, make but slow advances in the divine life because they neglect their prayer closets and do not thoughtfully meditate on God's word? They love the wheat, but they don't grind it. They would have the corn, but they will not go forth into the fields to gather it. The fruit hangs upon the tree, but they will not pluck it. The water flows at their feet, but they will not stoop to drink it. From such folly deliver us, O Lord." Isn't that beautiful? I mean, we have an abundance of riches. The question is, are we going to partake of the abundance of riches, or are we going to neglect those riches?
And with that analogy about the plucking the fruit, it's there, but if we don't come to it, it baffles me at how they think it's any different. With Eastern Orthodox, you come and you receive you come to liturgy, or you receive communion on the basis of faith. In the same way, you go to church and you read your Bible knowing and hoping that God, and trusting that God will come into your life and use you by faith. They're both by faith that God, that doing these things will connect you closer to God and give you grace to go on with your daily life and to commune more with Him. They're not much different. And the same is with the ritual. You stand at a Protestant church, you stand up at a certain time, you sit down at a certain time, you sing a certain way. There's traditions in everything. It's just a mincing words. So that's something that I find is very, very interesting when people try to separate the two. It's all about grace through faith.
That's really true. The early Christian church didn't even understand what the whole argument was about. They didn't make some kind of bifurcation between faith and works. Faithful people did works. But overarching everything is that we are saved by God's grace, a means through faith. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to Jason. He's listening in Greenville, South Carolina, on the web. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Hank, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing well. I want to give a shout out to everybody there in the studio. So hope everybody's doing well.
Thank you.
My question is, some friends and I were talking about Mormonism, and specifically, obviously, the difference between Mormonism and Christianity, and this idea of Mormons having kind of special pajamas that they wear underneath their clothes came up. And I wanted to ask, is that true? And if so, what's the significance of that?
It's a symbolic gesture of the promises that a Mormon has made to their God. It's worn after the initial rite that takes place in the Mormon temple, and it reminds the Mormon of being set apart from the world. So that's a basic overview of what's going on with the what's sometimes described as the magic underwear. So people kind of ridicule it a little bit. But for Mormons, this is something that is significant. I think the bigger issue with Mormonism is, does Mormonism cohere with that which is true? And the answer to that question is, of course, it does not. Mormons deny the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And to that end, I've put together a flip chart that I think is helpful for people to engage with. I don't know if we have a copy of that in the studio. If we do, I'll hold it up in a moment. Oh, yes, thank you. Right here, the Mormon Mirage. Memorable keys to the Mormon Mirage. It's been so long since I've talked about Mormonism, but I actually organized this flip chart around the acronym Mormon, Moroni. Well, it's, of course, the angel that you see at the top of Mormon stakes or temples. You see this this angel Moroni. Then you have an entry on the organization, how Mormonism came to be from a historical standpoint. The revelations. Mormons have a quad, not just the Bible, but they have the Book of Mormon, Doctrines and Covenants, and so forth. Then the Mormon doctrinal deviations, oaths and temple rituals. I just mentioned one of them. And the new and everlasting covenant of plural marriage. All of that in Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage. You can find other resources on Mormonism on the web at equip.org. Other questions coming in on social media. Want to go back and forth? Do you have some more questions there? Or?
I do have more questions,
good,
but I think
cool.
You should make a comment first.
Oh, what's that? Oh. Well, we're getting really personal here. My daughter, Faith, has her birthday today.
Yeah. So happy birthday, Faith, if you're listening in.
Exactly.
There's too many kids.
Yeah, and Lucy, I mean, she was listening in when we said happy birthday to her the other day.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it's pretty cool stuff. Let's see. Tracy asks, what books or scriptures other than the Quran do Muslims believe in?
Well, what's interesting is Muslims you cannot speak of universally in that there are probably 500,000 hadiths. The plural is actually ahadith, but there are, for purposes of communication here, there are about 500,000. But there are six which are considered sahih, or sound, trustworthy. And in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, I quote from those authoritative Muslim sources, considered authoritative in both the Sunni and the Shia world, in the Muslim world in general. But the Quran is the only uncorrupted revelation of God to humankind in the view of Islam. And the hadiths give us a sense of the way of Muhammad. Did he walk into a bathroom with his right foot first or his left foot first? And people that become Islamic, they swear allegiance to Muhammad. So to really understand what they're swearing allegiance to and understand whether what they're giving themselves to is radical Islam or run-of-the-mill Islam, what you have to do is you have to have some kind of a sense of who Muhammad was. And in my book, the first M has to do with Muhammad. I give an overview on the life and legacy of Muhammad, particularly the last 10 years before his death, so the last decade before his death, where he was a ruthless warlord in Medina. So again, all of that in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion.
Yes.
I just answered your question.
You did. What's I didn't know if you were going back to the board, or do you want another question?
I don't know.
I can give you a comment from Hugo. He's the one that asked you about the Eastern Orthodox.
Oh.
He said, "Thank you for addressing my concern, Hank. You are one of the few true intellects left in our society. May God grant you many more years in life."
You know, one of the things I was talking to, thank you, that's very kind, most generous, but yeah, one of the things I was talking to Donald Fairbairn about is that many people have a little bit of knowledge, and they speak out using that knowledge as a hammer. Mm. And I think oftentimes the goal ought to be a little more humility, mm-hmm. and to look into things a little deeper so that you have some cogency and clarity. I think the more you learn, the more humble you are. But I will tell people listening in, and I think you've certainly known this as my daughter, and I think you can testify to this as well, Stephen, that I have always thought, I've always sought to follow truth wherever it leads. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but I think as well, I'm willing to stand for truth no matter what the cost. And I think that is the marching orders of the Christian Research Institute. We do what we do because truth really does matter. But in addition to that, we have to always remember that the map is not the territory. The menu is not the meal. And we should never mistake the cradle for its occupant. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'm going to continue on Facebook Live for a couple of minutes. But the Bible Answer Man broadcast over in 9 seconds. Thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Look forward to seeing you on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org.
The complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly 3 decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches.
888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.